Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for this day, for all the blessings, and Lord, for everything. I can't even imagine all the things that we are to be blessed for, but Lord, we thank you for that and for the grace that you give us. And Lord, I ask that if you would just lay your hand on me so that I can deliver this message so that it can be edifying and uplifting to the body and to anybody that will be listening to this at a later date. For Lord, this message is mostly for someone that is new to studying Scripture, period. And Lord, I just ask that you be with me that I can make this message understandable to all. And Lord, we thank you for that you did for us on the cross. And Lord, we ask that you be with those that are on our heart that might need a healing or a comforting touch from you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. As you noticed in my prayer, I mentioned laying on of hands, that the Lord lay his hand on me. And we know that he does through the Holy Spirit. He gives us guidance through the Holy Spirit. But tonight I'm working on my study number 6. Today is November 10th, 2015. And this is study number 6 on tradition versus truth that I've been working on. And I've already went through baptism and speaking in tongues. And tonight I'm going to do an attempt at laying on of hands, since it's pretty predominant in Scripture. And we all know that when it comes to traditional churches, they practice laying on of hands in different ways, and using they also use the Scripture as their reference, but they also abuse the right that they practice in doing so. And I say that because a person has to be given to them by the giver before they have the authority to use it. Does that make sense? It did to me. But that's the way I see it. And hopefully that's the way that I will come across. With religion, you have ordinances made up by man, using partial scripture that is directed by man and that is ordained by man, not by God, that is put forth by man apart from God's truth and not rightly divided, under the authority of man, taught by teachers, priests, pastors, and other traditional church officials, using bits and pieces of God's word to put forth their religious beliefs. As I say in each study presentation, there are two ways of destroying Christianity, and that is a Christ-practicing people. One is to deny it, and the other is to displace it. Satan, without a doubt, seeks to displace, confuse, or destroy it with ritualism or religion. Religion may be of use when teaching a scriptural falsehood or a tradition of ordinances created by man's teaching, either of the world or the individual, by not rightly dividing God's word. The truth stays hidden, and the individual suffers loss of reward. Another laying on of hands that everybody is totally familiar with is the TV evangelists, when they have people in instance that is salted, and I mean by salted is they're put there pawns to be a false testimony of their false powers that they're going to falsely put onto that person to present a facade for the people watching TV that don't study Scripture and wind up falling into the pit, the money pit, and send in the monies when these false preachers get up there and say, "I heal you in the name of Jesus." But I go on with friends, and we cut up like that sometimes because in my southern way, I can put on a decent little show of and make it comic as to how they act, and yes, I'm making fun of it because they should be made fun of because they're not truthfully doing God a justice, okay? In Mark 16:18, Christ says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing," talking about the disciples or those that have the healing capabilities, "it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." The people that Christ, from this point, the people that Christ gives the ability to, the gift that Christ gives the gift to, those people and those people alone have the ability to heal, cast out demons, take up serpents and or whatever, and it won't hurt them. In Scripture, the person with the power, authority, or gift of laying on their hands was given power from God. Man today take the authority from Scripture that has been taught through generations of neglect of God's Word, who do so by not rightly dividing God's Word and also to make profit from individuals that don't know Scripture also. When it comes to laying on of hands, there's different blessings that are received from this ability. You have offerings in the Old Testament. You have those that are ordained for God's service. You also have those that are cast into or judged by the laying on of hands. And you have those that receive a blessing from the laying on of hands. And in the ones that are mostly today, those of healing by the laying on of hands. And the gifts that are received by laying on of hands. And you also have those that are set apart by laying on of hands. And then, naturally, you have those that are used the laying on of hands in anger, when Scripture teaches of, he tells Timothy in the latter part to suddenly lay hands on no man. But in the offerings, let's turn to Exodus 7, and we'll see that Aaron himself is given the authority as priest. And the Lord said unto Moses, "See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." Aaron, the prophet, the high priest, or the priest. During this period of Exodus, it's when God is laying plagues on Egypt. And They're getting ready to take the mass exodus. You know the story of all the plagues and Pentecost, where the Spirit comes down and goes through and kills the firstborn, except for those that are under the blood of Christ. In Leviticus 16:7-10, we're going to be talking about Aaron and a offering. In 7 he says, "And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other the scapegoat. And this is called the Azazel goat, because the Hebrew for scapegoat is Azazel. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon the goat upon which the Lord fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive to the Lord. I need to turn on my screen here because I can't sleep. Shall be presented alive for the scapegoat. And the scapegoat will be let go into the wilderness. The head can cover him all the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. This is the scapegoat. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and shall let go the goat into the wilderness. Here Aaron is laying his hands and giving the scapegoat a blessing to leave, and he sacrifices the other one. This is a likeness of Christ and his judgment, because Christ was the one of which the lot fell to be crucified. And then to me, the scapegoat here is Barabbas, the one that Israel chose to let go. Now, one of the commentaries that I read said that this scapegoat represents Satan when he comes back and is cast out for 1,000 years or so and so. But to me, when I read this personally, I feel that this is just exactly like the trial of Christ, where the people chose which one to go. They were the ones casting the lots. And for the people of Israel, they said, let his blood be on our hands and our children's hands. And to me, this was representative of the trial and Barabbas being let go into the wilderness. That's for offerings. Now, for the laying on of hands to be ordained for God's service. Here we have in Acts 9:15, we'll have Paul's credentials now. But the Lord said to Ananias, go thy way, for Paul is a chosen vessel unto me. So this is Paul's credentials, because he will bear Christ's name before Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And another one for ordainmanship. In Acts 13:2-23. Hold on a second. Like I said, there's going to be a little bit of joy. Ordained. Where's that man? Here it is. In Acts 13:2-3, as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Actually, this one is for setting aside. But this one is where the laying on of hands is set aside Barnabas and Saul to for the ministry. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. I think that one got shifted up in the wrong place. But judgment, okay? Excuse me for talking to myself. Seem to do that when there ain't no noise nowhere and I can't see y'all. Judgment. In Exodus 7, 2 to 6, laying on of hands was passed in judgment. And in 2 it says, "Thou shalt speak, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. And he shall send the children out of Israel, out of his land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart." Well, we're going back to when they're talking to the Exodus. "And hearken unto you, that I, God, may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments." So he's using his hands in judgment. "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they." The next one is blessing. In Genesis 48, 8 to 20, we have blessings where Jacob is blessing Joseph's sons. And it says, "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and said, Who are these?" Because he hadn't even seen them. He hadn't seen Joseph in a long time. "And Joseph said to his father, They are my sons, whom God has placed. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim of age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed." Because he didn't even think he would be able to see Joseph, and now he's seeing his children. "And Joseph brought forth them out from between his knees and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand," because Ephraim was the younger child, so he was not to get the better of the blessings, okay? The one, when you put your right hand upon the child, that child will get the greater of the left hand, okay? "And who was the younger, and his left upon Manasseh's head," guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. "And Joseph said, God, before whom Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads. And let my name be and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Now, each one of these had children, like, from their seed was like 30,000. "And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be the greater than he. And it's kind of strange this turns out this way, because Jacob himself fooled his father into getting the birthright above his younger brother Esau. It's just kind of strange how it works out that way. And we get into healing. The disciples, here are the credentials for the disciples. In Matthew 10:1, Christ gives the disciples, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and manner of disease. So here and on, Christ is giving his 12 disciples, or later apostles, the authority to lay on hands and cast out demons and heal sick and such. And in Luke 10:9, it also says, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents, on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And so Christ here gives his apostles the power over, so he can't harm them. Okay, so let's go to Acts 19, and I'm not going by any means, I'm not using every single passage where laying on of hands taking place, because it would wind up being one of Ronnie's 75 studies, and which is probably what I should do, but that's just not what I'm doing here. I'm sorry. Acts 19:11-15. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Now you see, this is where you get people getting mailing aprons and handkerchiefs. And I actually got one time a paper, I think it was supposed to be a rug or something. You're supposed to get it and kneel on it and pray and, you know, just stuff like that. And but they get it from this passage and put it into a practical use for themselves. To be mass confused. That's basically what it is. And then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And we were, oh, this is where there were seven sons. How did I get that in here? That's where Paul was healing, but this Simon went in and tried to do his own healing, and the seven sons of Sceva, the priest, which did so, an evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And he went forth they went out all beat up, bruised, naked, and everything else. And then we get into the gifts in Acts 8:14-17. Now these are all laying on of hands that is coming from Scripture, and that people are abusing them today to say that they get the authority from Scripture that they can lay hands on people, okay, and heal them. Now, in the Baptist church that I went to, I seen where they did an ordination for the deacons, to where they ordained the deacons by laying on their hands. Now, when they do that within their organization, then I think they, you know, to me, I say, well, that's more power to you. You know, it's your organization, and you do that within yourself. But as far as having the power of God to lay hands, I have to draw the line there and say that I feel like they don't. To the gifts, Acts 8:14-17. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and then laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. See, here they was baptized first, then laid hands on. Now, 1 Timothy 4:12-14. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy here. Says, let no man despise thy youth, because Timothy was a young lad, or compared to all the other apostles. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, 1 Timothy is definitely after Acts 28. Here we have laying on of hands. Well, this is speaking in a former time, in a former dispensation, so this is not saying that laying on of hands is supposed to be into the Acts, after Acts period or post-prison epistles, because it's not. Paul is bringing this up, that remember that the laying on of the hands at the presbytery, when Paul and the elders of the church, was it at Antioch, circumcised him and naturally laid hands on him. Now, in 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up or rekindle the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. It's almost like here in 2 Timothy, he's telling Timothy, now listen, fella, you need to get this stirred back up. Rekindle this fire that was in you, which was in thee by putting on of hands. So he's kind of saying, all right, well, let's get it back in gear, because he gets into telling him what not to do here shortly. But now and I know I'm going back and forth here, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:1-2, and then we'll do 4 and 6. But 1 and 2 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, so we're into the gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all and in all. Then we go down to 31. But covet earnestly the best. Is of all these gifts that you have, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and you shall know, and you shall and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Then in chapter 13, what is it? It's the love chapter. This is the greatest gift that Paul is saying that the Corinthians should have, is that you love one another. And so that was set apart. And in anger, we get to 1 Timothy 5:21, 23. Like I was saying before, Paul was telling Timothy again. Here's Paul telling Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before the other. And that is prokrima, and that's prejudgment. So you say, wait a minute, prejudgment. So that thou observe these things without prejudgment, doing nothing by partiality, lay hands suddenly on no man. Now, this is not a healing laying on of hands. This is the anger laying on of hands. So apparently, Paul is kind of knows that Timothy's had his youthful experience, and apparently Timothy wasn't so timid. Now, this is just my thoughts, that Timothy might not have been as timid as one would think. It says, neither be a partaker of other man's sins, keep thyself pure. Drink no longer wine, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So Timothy also had some stomach issues. So, I don't have my computer here, so when we get into gifts today, okay, there is no laying on of hands that is ordained by God, because it's not scripture. Now, if I want to give my grandchildren a blessing that I have, that I want him to have, that's between me and him. Or if somebody has a gift they want to give to somebody else, they can lay their hand on it and say, this is yours. You can have it. Now, that's between the two parties. But gifts today, let's look at what a gift today is. And I had it set up on my computer. I think it was for by grace in 2:8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. So the gift today is salvation. Salvation is the only gift that is given to us today of God by grace. And that salvation is by our Lord and Savior and His shed blood for mankind. Salvation is the gift given during the laying on of hands in the Acts period. When they were baptized in the Acts period, they were baptized unto salvation. So those that were hands laid on in the Acts period, from what I see, that was their gift of salvation. Now, unless they were given a special gift of healing, that isn't spoken of except for the apostles. As today in Ephesians 2:8, salvation through grace the gift. The only ones who had power to lay hands and give salvation were the apostles. Today, after Acts 28:28, just believe and you have salvation. But during the Acts and before, from my understanding, laying on hands gave salvation. From what I can understand is that those during the Acts period, during the grafting in, to receive salvation, if I'm not mistaken, they had to be laid on of hands and baptized. Now, the elder guys here can, I'm sure, know more about that, but to me, that's what I see. And you guys, you'll probably know that better than I do. And no doubt about it. But in Ephesians 1, Well, we're sealed with the Spirit. Okay. Where's that chip sealed? I'm going to start in 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded us toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should praise to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Here you go. In whom, after you trusted, after that heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that is our gift, is our salvation and grace and being sealed in the Holy Spirit. And I thank you guys, and I am, let's see if I can figure this out. Love you. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and Lord, all the blessings we have, and all those things that we have in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that saving grace that you give us as a gift from yourself. For it's in all these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.